Welcome back, everybody, to the Nine Circles Audio Thing. We're talking about our August album of the month, which is Bummer, Holy Terror, released on August 24th through Learning Curve Records and High Dive Records for tape and CD. And we've got a limited amount of folks just due to it's the weekend and everybody's out doing their thing. So, hey, out on the West Coast, we've got Vince, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good. Good weather, good everything. Everything well?
Everything's fine. It's kind of waiting for it to cool down, but I'm always kind of waiting for it to cool down here. I feel like I make the same complaint every time, so.
Yeah, understandable. And we've got our brother to the far north, Jonathan Petcow. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, and in stereotypical Canadian fashion, I am trying to stay warm from the snow we're getting. So, Vince, if you just come on up, and
sure.
We'll keep you nice and cool.
Everybody wants to move to Canada now, so.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, it's a mystery is what it is.
It's a real, real head-scratcher.
Well, I tell you, just hold the snow up there with you, or, you know, maybe you can share a little bit with Vince and just
kick it on over my way. Just leave Josh out of it.
There you go. Just leave me out. I'm
yeah,
good with
Josh
that.
Josh has his own problems right now, so that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
a little wind, a little rain, but we're about to get done with this thing. I hope it gets on out of here. Tons of flooding now in North Carolina, so God, I hope all those people are you know, going to make it and are okay.
Definitely.
All right, well, let's dive into it. Sent this thing over to you guys here a little while back, and so what's your impressions on it? Vince, we'll start with you.
I feel like I start all the time.
Well, you know, ultimate man of mystery, come on.
Yeah, okay. So I think we covered sort of the same line of my similar line of thinking when we did the episode way, way back in the day about the Couch Flood album, which is that for those who aren't sort of familiar with the style of music that Bummer plays, it's just like, it's very like angular, sort of like aggressive noise rock. Not really metal per se, but very metal adjacent. Like, it comes from sort of that like Fugazi, Refused, Big Black sort of line of like hardcore punk and noise rock sort of thing, which is not something that I've been super familiar with my whole life. Like, I'm from Chicago originally, so I'm like familiar with like Albini stuff because Steve Albini is a legend in Chicago in the music scene, and like some McCluskey stuff. And so I wasn't really sure what I was going to get with Holy Terror. And then I opened up the promo that Josh gave me, and I saw that there was a song on there called Fred Savage 420, and I was like, oh, fuck, this is going to be awesome. And it was, and it really was. Like, it's really, really good. Like, it's just all kinds of, like, bonkers fun.
Yeah.
And, like, they really go, like, they really play fast and loose with a sense of humor that they've got, and I think that's what I particularly enjoy about it. Like, the stuff that I listen to, like, sort of, I mean, like, Big Black and Shellac and, like, McCluskey and bands like that are always, they all have that sort of very, like, tongue-in-cheek sort of humor about them, and I really like that this sort of carries that on with songs like, with names like Reefer Sadness and Astro Bastard. Like, I really enjoy that this isn't an album that takes itself too seriously.
Yes.
It doesn't overstay its welcome either. Like, I have it open on Spotify and I'm looking and it's like 24 minutes long for 10 tracks. It just like, it's just like in, out, done. And it's just a great time.
Yeah. Agreed. I agree. Love it. What about you, John? What'd you think of it?
Well, I'm probably hitting the same, a bunch of similar notes as Vincent. I probably know even less, I think, noise rock, or I mean, other than just names by reputation. Having listened to a bunch of horrors over the last years, I was like, okay, I can place it within a similar musical context there. And more recently, like my first like official review for Nine Circles was for Ken Mode's new album, although I think that they, and so that that sort of that tongue-in-cheek, snarky ass, like twinkle in your eye sense of sarcasm is there too. Though I think Bummer probably is a little bit leaning less into the existential despair compared to Ken Mode, but yeah, like the song titles are very much, you know, they're very good. There's no other way to say it really. And I was worried. Worried is a strong word. I was not entirely sure coming into this conversation, like what I could have to say about it, because I felt like I hadn't listened to it that much. But then when I noticed that it's like less than half an hour long, and then thinking I probably actually listened to it like 8 or 9 times to get ready for it, it just goes so quickly that it's gone before you really think about it. And it is so, you know, loud and gregarious and fun that like it never leaves you thinking, well, I've had enough of that. It always, every time I get to the end of it, I was like, oh, that's the end. I wish I could do more.
Do you think that's a good or a bad thing against it? Like, do you wish that there were more to it, or?
Anytime you come across something like that, it's always a risk. Cause if you say I want more, but then, you know, someone were to actually indulge you on that, you might find, oh, if more of this in at least in one album, like if you wanted, like, would you want to listen to an hour long grindcore album, for example? We probably wouldn't.
No, that would be, absolutely not.
No.
I think its brevity is part of what keeps it as white hot and as good as it is that it just, it does what it needs to do, and it does it incredibly well, and it's fun, it's loud, and before I have a chance to really get tired of it or anything, not that I would, but like with shorter attention spans, I feel like this album is actually really great for that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that it's like that Shakespeare quote, you know, brevity is the soul of wit. And I think that the fact that it is only 24 minutes, like you could say like, oh man, I wish it would do more, but I feel kind of like it's like the longest song on this album is 3 minutes and 2 seconds. And I feel like for the style of music that it plays, that's perfect. That's what it should be. Whereas by contrast, I tried listening to that Ken Mode album that you were talking about, and I really couldn't get into it. And I think it's because it draws itself out too far. Like, I kind of wish, maybe that's just my personal feelings towards, like, the genres that I tend to gravitate towards stuff that's louder and faster and than stuff like Ken Mode, who have, like, an 8-minute song on that album.
Is that the closer?
It's the closer, yeah.
Oh, I know. I don't want to turn this into a Ken Mode discussion.
Sure.
I mean, my feelings on Ken Mode, I put on the site, so
you've made it abundantly clear.
people know how I feel about it, but that closer, is. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm a sucker for saxophone and metal, but I quite.
My God.
No, I.
Yeah. This is not the first time this conversation has come up on this podcast.
Well, now I get to be add my name to the annals of
and
sax and metal, baby.
Oh man, it's been on Twitter too, and like I just don't know why it keeps coming up. I don't know why this keeps happening.
because it's so weird. Like I wouldn't have never thought of it, and then I heard it, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay, so here's a weird pull. I think it was in the song Reefer Sadness, and maybe it's because it's called Reefer Sadness. I had to look it up because I didn't remember the name, but in the movie Super Troopers, there's a band that's on the soundtrack that plays in like a few different points. I think I looked it up. They're called the Unband. And basically, that's, I remember it's something to the effect of like, get a job or something. I think that's the main line. And that sort of like party, like very loose, loud rock and roll feeling. Actually, when I was listening to this, I was like, I wish this could like fit on a Super Trooper soundtrack or something to that effect. Does that thinking line up for anyone else?
Yeah, no, not having seen Super Trooper, but I definitely feel where you're coming from, where this feels like party music. It feels like something that would find a nice home on like the soundtrack to like a goofy comedy movie.
One that's, well, and I think with Super Troopers, because it was all, you know, they're going for, you know, hard, or, well, they're going for R-rated stoner comedy that, like,
sure,
it doesn't quite have to be, like, Green Day or Blink-182 kind of rock and roll. It can be something that's a bit, you know, has a bit more bite to it.
Yeah, which this definitely does. But, yeah, it's, I was thinking about this earlier today where I feel like Holy Terror is what I would think of as like heavy metal barbecue music almost. Like it's something that you put on when you've got a bunch of people in your backyard and you're just like grilling shit and you want to have a good time.
Well, I mean, look at that album cover. I love the simplicity of it, and it just screams MC5 to me for some reason.
I didn't notice that until you said it, but it does sort of have that MC5 thing going on for it.
Yeah.
Which I think they would probably take as a compliment.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, it's funny that you mentioned the party music, and I can definitely see that. My main draw to this thing, and I don't know, you know, there's a certain type of noise rock that I really, really get into, and you hit on it when you mentioned Couch Slut. And it's the kind that is just nasty, filthy. You listen to it and you think, oh my God, I need a Clorox wipe. I need to wipe this out of my ears kind of deal.
Yeah.
And to me, this hits on that vein. It gets into the, you know, the Scrape era, Unsane, definitely hits the same vibe as Couch Slut. I mean, Astro Bastard's probably one of my favorite tracks on the album. Just because of that nasty, sludgy groove. And, I mean, King Shit with the huge drumming, Arts and Crafts, the final song, that is probably one of the filthiest tracks on this thing. I mean, even though Astro Bastard is my favorite, Arts and Crafts comes in close to it. And then when you read the lyrics, you know, even though kind of in the promo stuff, they're talking about this is just about an album about basically just getting kicked down, and you continue to get back up, kick down, get back up. The lyrics are just, again, you want to take a Clorox wipe to your eyeballs. And it fit, this whole thing just fits into that. Just, this is just nasty noise rock that really kicks hard. It does well in the fact that it's only, you know, 24, 25 minutes long. 10 more minutes and, yeah, I don't know that we'd be talking about it, really, honestly. I don't. I think they packed a lot in 24, 25 minutes, and I love it. I mean, it, you know, being late in August and being that we had such a month that we did in August, there was a lot. There was definitely a lot we could have picked as album of the month, that's for sure. But this just hit me, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, my second run-through, I was already thinking about album of the month status. Second time I listened to it, just because it hit me that hard. And, yeah, I still love it. Guaranteed you'll be seeing it again from me later in the year.
Oh, sure, yeah. You picked this over some other really big-name stuff for August.
Yeah.
I thought for sure we would end up talking about Magus while we were here.
Yeah, it could have easily... It could have easily been album of the month. There's no doubt. I mean, Thou is spectacular, but to me, this, I don't know, this album is quick. It's easy to get into. It's not something that, you know, it's deep and you have to hear it 50 times to really get into it. And I don't know, man, it hit me early and it stuck with me. Like if I started it up right now, I'd get just as giddy as the first time I listened to it and got to Arts and Crafts and said, holy crap, this thing smokes. I've still got that feeling listening to it the day that I did. God, I don't know, whenever I got the promo for early August.
Well, that album cover we mentioned before, like you're talking about the immediacy of, like, you just get it immediate, you get it right away. When you look at that album cover, it's, you know, all their amps and cabinets and the drum set and stuff. They put it all there for everyone to catch immediately. You know what you're going to get. There's
no level of subtlety to it.
Nope. None. Yeah.
I think also that works for its, that works in its advantage. But yeah, this chat sort of reminds me a lot about the one where it was my pick for album of the month and I picked the Gyaria album, in the sense that I could have gone with something a lot more big name for that, but I decided that it would be better to use this platform to give, like, to talk about something that I personally hadn't seen a lot of other people talk about. I guess I was wrong about that, but yeah, I feel like there's a lot of stuff you could have picked for August for album of the month, and certainly if it were my pick, we'd be talking about Magus, because I will talk to anyone with ears to listen. But I think that it's actually really cool, because I would have never even heard of this album if you hadn't sent it to me and been like, okay, we're doing this one. And I really enjoyed it a lot, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to have that, like, to give it that spotlight.
Yeah, and I mean, that, you know, and to that point, before I got the promo, I had never even heard of these guys, and I love this kind of noise rock. Love it. And then, you know, going back through their Bandcamp, they've got, you know, 3-4 releases already on there. Now, granted, they're, you know, 3 songs, 4 songs, one of them 6 songs, and they all are just amazing.
Well, I appreciate, like, I mean, I'm still, you know, the new guy trying to catch up on life with, you know, this kind of pace of listening to music already feels a bit more like, oh, I have to, you know, be more on top of things than I used to be just following y'all on Twitter. But I'll certainly echo the, like, I didn't have a particular thing that, you know, I felt I needed to talk about, but certainly you saying no, sending me the promo and getting to listen to it, I definitely wouldn't have caught it otherwise, but really appreciate it, because, like, oh, this is, again, I can, you know, again, I've probably listened to it a whole bunch of times, and there are albums that come out that I like from bands that I already know that I, you know, that I haven't listened to as much, so I definitely appreciate it, that as well.
Shoot, man, glad to have you on, that's for sure. And, you know, and of course, I'll include a link to this in the write-up, but we did a profile for these guys, and they were great in their answers. You know, it wasn't a one or two sentence, you know, where you have to go guessing what they're talking about. I mean, these guys, they really spent some time and wanted to get us in their heads as much as possible. And that doesn't always happen. You know, I mean, sometimes it's just, well, we like metal. We like Satan. That's it. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. The orthodox black metal answers.
Yeah.
I like the term orthodox black metal because I like silly puns.
Well, it's a real actual term.
But it is actually
used to describe their music before. Like, I generally enjoy music that it labels itself that way, but I think the personalities surrounding it is, like, it can be a little bit too much. Like, I understand that your art is an extension of your worship or whatever, but, like, it's an interview question, man. Like, come on. Just be a human being.
I mean, I don't care what particular amount of cred I have. I don't take much of just about anything outside of, like, even sometimes in the music, I'm like, what would be fun to do rather than, you know, where does my soul burn and yearn for? So I don't pretend to have. I mean, when Chris and I put out our split together, we called ourselves Dadcore because we thought it would, you know, it's like, yeah, let's just be real. We're dads.
No.
Like, it's anyone who's going to talk to us, I'm not going to try and put on airs about and being anything other than just, you know, who I am.
Your art can be separate from who you are as a person. Like, if I were, if I'm, like, well, I'm kind of currently writing music, or at least I'm trying to, and, like, I would hope that the music that I make would be serious, but, like, I'm not a serious person by any stretch of the imagination, and, like, I feel like I can do those two things separately, you know?
Well, I tend to, and I mean, if, for me at least, I, you know, maybe it's just sort of imposter syndrome or something, but I just assume that everyone will already figure out that I'm a cheese cornball kind of guy, so, like, just, you know, let's not, let's just not try and pretend otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think you should either.
Yeah, and that's totally cool. I think you know, listen, and I know Vince, you'll attest to this. We've talked about this before. Listen, man, we're all cheese balls to some to some degree.
None of us are cool in any way, shape, or form. We're just a bunch of nerds who like to talk about the weird niche stuff that we like to talk about.
Absolutely, and we love doing it.
Well, and that makes, I mean, and when you can have people like Bummer come on and, you know, sort of engage in that from a similar perspective of like this is, you know, if they're able to be serious in what they do and take what they do very seriously, but outside of that sort of take a step back and recognize, you know, and have some fun with it and not try to be off-putting to other people, then that's always a nice touch.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And Vince, I think it was you earlier that mentioned the album doesn't take itself too seriously. That's another thing I love about it, is it's not trying to be anything other than what it is, you know, what it is. And it's not pretentious. It's not overblown. It's not trying to be this or that. It's just, man, it's just a you know, from the first second to the last, it's just straight ahead, just rock, and I love it. All right, well, so that's that. Bummer's touring right now. If you're anywhere close by to Kansas City, make sure to catch them on tour. Wish they'd be touring down in the South, but you know, who knows? They may not. Be great if they would. So for Vince and John and myself, appreciate everybody stopping by and taking a listen to it. Check us out at 9circles.co and all the podcast platforms. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you.